Good morning. This is the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Bob Martin, and we're here again reading from this week's Independent, dated Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. We'll begin with the news section. A year in sanctuary. What 13 months hiding from ICE inside a Durham church has taught Jose Chicas? For Jose and Sandra Chicas, a year in sanctuary has provided a front row seat to President Trump's strict immigration policies, but it's also taught them that a sense of security comes from more than just a locked door. When Jose Chicas first sought sanctuary from deportation in June of 2017 at the School for Conversion, a religious education center in Durham, he was so afraid that Immigration and Customs Enforcement was going to come for him that he could barely celebrate at a birthday party for the school director's son. He couldn't even taste the cake, he says. Jose came from El Salvador in 1985 and crossed to the United States through the Texas-Mexico border. After being detained by ICE and released on bond, he says, he was given bad legal advice and skipped his court date. As a result, he was issued a deportation order. During the 1990s, he struggled with alcoholism and was convicted of driving under the influence and domestic abuse. After converting to Christianity in 2002, he reconciled with Sandra and was ordained as a pastor at Iglesia Evangelica in Raleigh. Despite the denial of his asylum application in 2008, he is able to stay in the U.S. through the stays of removal and work permits. He received a Social Security number and a driver's license, and he paid taxes. He visited the Charlotte ICE office for routine check-ins. During the Obama administration, Jose still lived under a deportation order, but authorities never acted on it. When Trump took office, however, that all changed. By spring 2017, just months after the inauguration, the Chicases were told that Jose had to leave the country. Sandra, who says she has a work permit, would be allowed to stay with her four children, three of whom are citizens. The other is a dreamer. Jose says he was shocked to learn that he would be deported. I thought that when they told us that they were going to deport criminals, I never thought that I would be on that list, he said. Because to me, criminals qualify as people who go robbing, people who are drunk driving, people who are benefiting from crime. For a situation with one deportation order from 1985, this doesn't make sense. When I see the stuff, for example, the children, how they treat the children, I've never seen that before, Sandra said. I say, is this the United States? The spirit, the hatred of racism, it exploded, Jose says. It went outside what's normal. ICE is crossing boundaries that they don't even have to cross. They're separating families and searching people out. Trump has given them the green light and unleashed them. As Jose settled into a new house at the school, he expected to be in sanctuary for only a short time. 13 months later, he's still there. Because ICE designates medical facilities, public demonstrations, and places of worship sensitive locations at which it typically avoids immigration enforcement, Jose is safe there so long as he doesn't leave the property. As the months have passed, he's found ways to occupy his time. He runs a car washing business where people can set up a time to bring their cars by the school. He receives visitors in an open house time during the week. Some come seeking advice, others religious perspective. He's learning guitar and taking English lessons with a tutor. He gives interviews and leads Bible study and prayer sessions through Facebook, Live, and the radio. Some broadcast as far as Argentina and his native El Salvador. Ask if he's afraid, Jose responds confidently. No, I'm not afraid. I know they don't know to have the authority yet to enter my sanctuary. I feel confident, not like the first days here, because I didn't know that. As Jose has adapted to his new environment, Sandra has also adjusted to her new normal. Now the primary wage earner in their household, she continues to work as a housekeeper in NC State, where she's had a job for the past 18 years. She now preaches at their church, sometimes working with Jose to prepare sermons. She says about 20 people left their very traditional congregation when she, a woman, began delivering sermons. She also deals with immigration attorneys, politicians, and advocacy groups almost daily, working tirelessly on her husband's behalf. In her efforts to help Jose, she's not always met with open doors. Sometimes they get slammed in her face. After a town hall with U.S. Representative David Price, whom she knows personally, she asked Price to seek a so-called private bill for Jose, a legal last resort that grants permanent residency to an individual via a bill that passes through Congress and is signed by the president. Price told her that there was no way it would pass. In spite of the challenges, she said she's going to try to keep Jose in the country. "Who will talk for my husband?" Sandra says. "I don't think about stopping. I'm going to keep saying it because it's not fair." It's not. We now turn to this week's indie feature article. College is hard. We're here to help. The Campus Guide. This fall marks 21 years since I packed my few worldly possessions into a 1990 Toyota Camry, and after lying that I would abstain from any illicit substances, left my parents' abode for the first time. I was off to explore the world on my own. Sort of. It's not like I was paying my own bills. My adulthood is now old enough to legally drink. The world has changed since then. The year I graduated, when this year's crop of freshmen were toddlers, God, I'm old, terrorists flew planes into the Twin Towers, and the U.S. had been at war in the Middle East ever since. The housing market bloomed, then crashed, then ballooned again. We've elected a smart black president, and then a dumb orange one. My cohorts and I are drowning under a tsunami of student debt that is, in turn, stifling middle-class property, such as the politicians are now tossing around ideas like student loan forgiveness and free college that first two decades ago would have been unthinkable. And perhaps most important, the Internet, which was then frustratingly slow and complicated. It's now revolutionized how we learn and work and communicate with each other. College, too, has changed in ways both obvious and subtle. Life moves faster. Connection is omnipotent. Access to knowledge is immediate. Students are more socially engaged and, dare I say, responsible. But some things remain the same. College is hard and will always be a time for self-exploration and self-definition, to discover who you are and who you want to be. The Indies Campus Guide is designed to assist the mass of students and their parents who will descend on the triangle over the next few days for moving weekend navigate their brave new world. And because it's been some time since our staffers could relate to the target demo, we've largely delegated this package to an ambitious team of summer interns, Elizabeth Chen, who served as project manager, Macon Atkinson, Absorca Mann Wood, and Cole Villena, who, drawing on their own experiences, dish out advice on living cheaply, pulling all-nighters, getting around without a car, finding events you shouldn't miss, and all sorts of things. We hope you enjoy it. More important, we hope it's of use. Those first few weeks of college may feel overwhelming and intimidating. At least they did for me. But you'll get through it. We're here to help. opening trivia. The Triangle comprises Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, and got its name from the creation of Research Triangle Park, home to dozens of tech and research companies in the 1950s. The first segment, Been There, Done That. Got questions about college? We got answers. Times have changed since our parents went to college, and their back-in-my-day story can get old fast. So what's it actually like being on campus in the 21st century? Because nothing beats advice from fellow millennials who've been there, we asked seven current or recent students for the 411 on doing college in 2018. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but these collegians know best. Alec Lazanica, Meredith College, 20. How do you deal with living with a roommate? He said, communication is vital. As a previous resident assistant to first-year students, I noticed that the majority of roommate camp conflicts arise due to a lack of communication. Establish and talk about boundaries before the school year starts to avoid future conflicts. Consider discussing things like items that are okay or not okay to share, visitors, study habits, sleeping habits, cleaning routines, etc. Also, if something is bothering you, talk to your roommate about it because chances are they had no idea that you were uncomfortable in the first place. If you're having a hard time talking to your roommate, or if an issue is unable to be resolved, reach out to your RA or other on-campus resources. Shana Woolery at Duke, 19. What's been your most meaningful on-campus experience? She said, Project Wild, wilderness initiatives for learning at Duke in which students go on outdoor adventures such as hiking through the Pisgah National Forest have been my most meaningful on-campus experiences by far. I was first introduced to the group when my brother participated in the backpacking trip 2 years before me. He then became a staff member and convinced me to sign up, making Project Wild my first Duke-related experience. From there, I became a staff member and eventually became one of the program directors. I also took a course offered by the organization during my sophomore year that allowed me to learn how to create a welcoming and safe environment for incoming freshmen. I would not have become involved with Project Wild if my older brother had not come home from his backpacking trip with so many wonderful stories. Jada Bernard at William Peace University, 21. What has been your most meaningful on-campus experience? One of the organizations I've been involved with is the Division of Student Life. I'm an orientation leader. It's been the most fun I've had on campus. I've been able to interact with so many different people with different backgrounds, and I've gotten to know other student leaders and staff. I got involved by reaching out to student leaders and asking them questions. Some advice I would give is to always check your email because there will be emails coming left and right about things to do. Getting to know the campus as a student leader really put a positive outlook on my college life. Jonah Greffius, UNC Chapel Hill, 18. Do you play any intramural or club sports? He answered, I played club hockey and I did intramural football and intramural street hockey for a little while. You have to have a team ready to play intramurals, so they're not the best way to get involved. However, I made some of my best friends on the UNC club hockey team, and I found that it was really a great way to start a social circle. I would suggest that everyone get involved in one thing. It doesn't have to be athletic activity, but everyone should join a club or something to get face time with new people. Bailey Wilson, Eastern Carolina University, 14. What was your favorite on-campus event? My favorite on-campus event were probably the live concerts or campus fairs where you look for new potential jobs after graduating. The fairs were nice because they made us feel like our school was looking out for our futures. At the job fairs, if you found a booth you were interested in, you would get all the information about the job and pursue it. I also found out about a lot of volunteering events, and I wound up meeting some great new friends. Mackenzie Roberts, Duke, class of 19. Do you have any particular great relationships with professors? I developed a strong relationship with a favorite professor who teaches in my major, mostly by following up with her outside of class on interesting things that we had discussed during class. She taught the introductory class for my major during my freshman year, and I would occasionally send her news articles that I happened to see that were related to the class material. I eventually began asking her for advice on which other classes to take, and we kept up on the relationship until I could take another smaller seminar class with her in her junior year. She's since been a really helpful advisor and a good source of guidance. Taylor Gargunas, UNC Chapel Hill, class of 20. What's been your most meaningful on-campus experience? She answered, "The most meaningful on-campus experience I've had has been getting to know my sisters in my sorority. They were there for me when no one else was, and they have helped me through the worst semester of my college experience. I got involved through sorority recruitment and didn't expect to find my best friends and future bridesmaids, but I did. Greek life has made my college experience everything I'd hoped it would be and more." The next article in the campus guide, Pack Rat. 10 unexpected things you need in your dorm room. Moving into a dorm is terrifying in and of itself. You're cramming all your stuff into a tiny room with another person whom you've never really met. On top of it all, you've probably never been on your own before. How can you prepare for the next 4 years of your life if you don't have everything you need? Don't worry. We've been there and know all of the overlooked things you should consider putting in your suitcase. First item, extra pens and pencils. Seems obvious, right? Perhaps. But I can't count the number of times I've forgotten to bring a pen to class. Always keep extras in your backpack. Your classmates will thank you. Reading light. If you're an avid night reader or just a night owl, get a reading light. It will keep the peace between you and your early-to-bed roommate. Noise-canceling headphones. A nice pair of headphones or earbuds are probably the most important item you need. You'll use them walking to class, on the bus, while studying, in your dorm room, especially if your roommate is annoying, which is definitely a possibility everywhere. First aid kit. You're clumsier than you think. Sponge and dish soap. Do the environment and your wallet a favor and forego plastic and paper plates and utensils. Invest in reusable plates and utensils and wash them with a sponge and dish soap. Don't be lazy. A weekend bag. Weekend trips are fun. A Hawaiian shirt or lei. Tacky? Yeah. But I promise you'll go to a Hawaiian-themed party. Well, so when in Rome. A stain remover pin. Spill coffee on your favorite t-shirt in a 200-person lecture hall? No problem. Tide to go or what other stain remover pin will save you a trip to the laundry room. You should still do laundry at least every 2 weeks, though. Earplugs and eye mask. The former in case you have a loud roommate, the latter if you like to sleep in. Cold medication. Unless you have the immune system of Deadpool, you're going to get the flu and or a bad cold nearly every year. If you're too tired, sick, vomity, to walk to the campus health center, a couple of sips or tablets of DayQuil or whatever you prefer can take the edge off. Disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. Read the bottle before using. That being said, you should definitely try to get to a doctor as soon as flu-like symptoms arise. Tamiflu can literally be a lifesaver. Again, some triangle trivia. Durham's nickname, the Bull City, comes from Bull Durham Tobacco, the first national tobacco brand manufactured in Durham. By 1957, Bull Durham Tobacco was the largest tobacco company in the world. Another trivia. An ESPN poll in 2000 ranked the Duke-UNC basketball rivalry as the third greatest North American sports rivalry, and Sports Illustrated named it the hottest rivalry in U.S. college basketball. Our next segment, five tips for pulling all-nighters. You've procrastinated long enough. We've all been there. The lab reports left until the last minute. The paper due at 8 a.m., the exam that seemed so far away on the calendar, but then suddenly, it's tomorrow. While a little planning goes a long way, all-nighters are inevitable. Don't fret. Here are five tips for doing them right. Rest up. Get some sleep beforehand if you can. Go to bed early the night before. Take a nap before you hit the library. The more rested you are, the better. Sometimes even taking a quick nap during your study session can help. According to a NASA study, a 40-minute nap improves performance by 34% and alertness by 100%. Fuel up. Whenever I think of all-nighters, I immediately think of bottomless coffee. But drinking too much caffeine too fast can actually be counterproductive. Anything more than 4 cups of coffee or 400 milligrams of caffeine can make you jittery and unfocused. The key is to avoid chugging that latte. Instead, spread out your caffeine intake throughout the night. Keep snacks on hand, too. Granola bars and fresh fruit are quick, healthy options. Choose a good spot. Studying your bed isn't a setup for success. You'll want a place where you feel alert and awake, somewhere that has plenty of light and minimal noise. And stay away from your phone. I usually put mine in my backpack, out of sight, out of mind. Take breaks. Use the 50-10 rule. After every 50 minutes of studying, take 10 minutes to do some kind of activity. Walk, stretch, talk to a friend. Studying is a marathon, not a sprint. Get back to normal. So you finished. Now what? Take it easy and get back to your normal sleep schedule as soon as possible. Don't overcompensate with caffeine, and don't go to sleep before sunset. Go to bed a little earlier than normal and try to wake up naturally the next morning. Another triangle trivia. North Carolina state. Drink? Milk. The state bird? The cardinal. The flower? Dogwood. The animal? Gray squirrel. And the dog? Plothound. So named for its original breeder, Johannes Plott, whose dogs are the only dog breed certifiably native to the state and one of only four breeds native to the U.S. The next item, how to do college on the cheap. Unless your parents are loaded, in which case, whatever. Figuring out your financial situation in college can be tricky. Tuition, books, supplies, food. It all adds up, and you might not have time to get a job. So, How can you go to college and not be perpetually broke? Start by asking yourself, do I really need this? Will I actually use it? If you answered no to either of those questions, maybe reconsider the purchase. To ease your monetary anxiety, we compile these tips to help you keep your finances in check. Walk to class. Take the free campus bus, bike instead of driving and paying for parking. Undergraduate student parking permits cost up to $444.65 for the academic year in UNC, $414 at Duke, and $200 per semester at NC State. If you live off campus, pack your lunch instead of buying food on campus. The classic PB&J with an apple and a bag of chips is an easy, quick, and packable meal. However, if your taste buds are more refined, or if you can't be bothered to BIO food, many campuses have cafes or gas station-esque shops for a cheap bite. Ask upperclassmen who previously taken your courses if the textbook is really necessary, or wait until you know you won't drop the class before you buy it. I can't count the number of times I purchased textbook and then A, learned that the class barely used them, or B, ending up dropping the class anyway. If you must, buy used textbooks or rent them. Amazon is the devil, sure, but its prices are usually better than the student bookstore. Use apps like Hooked or Pocket Points to get restaurant and shopping discounts. Sign up for Una Days with your student email address to unlock discounts for more than 300 fashion, health, beauty, lifestyle, tech, and food brands that can be used online or in store. Always carry a reusable water bottle to fill up instead of buying more bottled water. Take advantage of free stuff at your college's first week of the school festival, Fall Fest at UNC, Packapalooza at State, and so on, and club meetings. There's usually free pizza or cookies. Usually booths at first week of this class festivals allow you to stock up, but supplies are always limited. Invest in a legit coffee maker, not a Keurig. Not only is it better for the environment, it's cheaper to buy ground coffee than it is to buy Keurig cups. If you don't have time to make coffee or would rather stop by the student cafe, bring a reusable coffee tumbler. Most places offer a discount for doing so. And some more trivia. High Point, out in the Triad, about an hour's drive west of the Triangle, is the self-proclaimed furniture capital of the world. The next article. Broke? Hungry? No problem. The best cheap eats in the Triangle. While most of your meals will come in dining halls, there are plenty of ways to switch things up without breaking the bank. Here are some of our favorite places to eat on a budget. Time Out, 201 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Franklin Street is probably the perfect location for a 24/7 restaurant, and that's what made Time Out not just a post-basketball game hangout, but a year-round favorite. Whether you're in the mood for a pulled pork sandwich or a platter of pancakes, nothing on the menu will set you back more than $10. The Dankery in Durham. Operating out of a food truck, the Dankery offers the dankest late-night food on a budget. While it's only open from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., the Dankery will hook you up with trays of chicken or vegan lamb tenders, wings, or a shrimp burger with home-style fries. There are 20 different flavor offerings, and most trays cost $7. You can take DM, the Instagram account, to order, pay through PayPal, and they'll deliver your food to Durham and the surrounding areas. Backyard Barbecue Pit, 5122 NC Highway 55 in Durham. It's between Raleigh, Chapel Hill, and Durham. Backyard BBQ Pit is easy to get to from anywhere in the Triangle. They offer sandwiches for $4, and you can get a half pound of any side for only $2.50. Located right near RTP, it's 20 minutes from Duke and NC State campuses, 15 minutes from UNC, and just 10 minutes or so from NC Central. Buy yourself a pint of pork for $9 while you're there, and you'll be set for the week. Cosmic Cantina, 1920 Perry Street in Durham, and 128 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. With locations in both Durham and Chapel Hill, Cosmic is the place to go when the pantry's over or the party's over, but no one wants to go home. You can get a burrito for $5, a taco for $3, and a margarita pitcher for $12. Cookout. Multiple locations in Raleigh and Durham. Cookout is cheap and unhealthy and will feed your soul while making your body hate you just a little. They're most famous for their fancy milkshakes, which have a calorie count of at least 500, but will set you back 279. If you're looking for something more substantial, get one of their legendary trays. For only $4.99, you get a main, two sides, and a drink. The real hack? Get a main of quesadillas with two sides of quesadillas, four quesadillas, for $4.99. Chubby's Tacos at 2444 Wycliffe Road in Raleigh. Although the Durham location closed in the last year, state students can still gorge on chips and salsa at Chubby's Raleigh Spot. Only 5 minutes from campus, you can get tacos for $2.69 or Chubby Changas for $5.69. Free chips come with every order, and a fan favorite is the Salsa Bar, a range of salsas from various heats, all for no extra charge. There's also a sushi bar, a pizza place, and deli, all in the same strip mall. The Roast Grill at 7 Southwest Street in Raleigh. The Roast Grill in Raleigh has been serving classic hot dogs at low prices for more than 70 years. Their menu is short and to the point. Hot dogs. They serve one type of hot dog that you can top with mustard, onions, slaw, or chili. But don't even think about asking for ketchup, or cheese, or kraut, or pickles, or relish, or mayonnaise. All for $2.50, and you can get a hot dog and a glass bottle of Coke. But make sure you bring cash. They don't accept cards. Some more trivia. In 1903, the Wright brothers made their first successful man-powered flight at Kill Devil Hills near Kitty Hawk, although Ohio furiously tries to steal North Carolina's thunder for this accomplishment, merely because the Wright brothers were born, raised, lived, and drew up plans for the airplane in Dayton, Ohio. And Tobacco Road refers to four rival universities that play in the Atlantic Coast Conference, referencing the area's historic background as a major tobacco producer. The Tobacco Road teams are the UNC Tar Heels, the Duke Blue Devils, the NC State Wolfpack, and the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Next, no car, no sweat. Here's how to navigate the world of public transportation. Maybe you're an NC Central student with a friend at state you want to visit. Maybe you're a UNC student who hates walking from your dorm to class on the other side of campus. Maybe you're at Meredith and just need a change of scenery. Chances are, you don't have a car on campus, especially if you're a freshman. Even so, you have plenty of options for public transportation at Triangle schools. First, the Go Triangle buses. Go Triangle is the Triangle's regional bus authority, with Go Raleigh and Go Durham providing transit in their respective cities. There are a ton of routes available, but the most important ones for getting from campus to campus are the 400, the Charlotte Hill-Durham route, DRX, Durham-Raleigh Express, and CRX, Chapel Hill-Raleigh Express. Express routes are all a $3 ride. Regional routes like the 400 or the 800 are $2.25, and a regional day pass is only $4.50. Before you buy a one-way pass, check with your school's transportation department to see if your student ID qualifies you for the annual Go Pass for unlimited rides on routes to and from campus. Every Triangle school provides these passes in some capacity. For students at NC Central, get them for free. Trains. Raleigh's Union Station just opened in July, making train travel to and from the capital city a lot more convenient. A trip from Raleigh to Durham, or vice versa, will set you back $7.50. And Amtrak's Piedmont train is a decent option for trips to places farther west, like Greensboro or Charlotte. See nearbytrain.org for more details. Free campus services to and from Chapel Hill. Most UNC students don't qualify for a Get Pass, but they don't have it so bad when it comes to free transit. Thanks to a joint program between NC State and UNC's biomedical engineering programs, there's a free shuttle that runs between State Centennial Campus and UNC's School of Medicine. Not exactly the center of either campus, but hey, it's free. All you need is a sticker on your state or UNC credit ID for your school's BME program, and you don't have to be a student in the department to get it. Getting to Duke is even easier. Go Triangle operates a UNC Duke shuttle, the Rabscam Express, which is free for anyone with a Duke or UNC ID. Getting to the airport. Before and after breaks, campus transit system offers shuttles to and from RDU International Airport. Check your email as Thanksgiving, spring break, and winter break approach. On-campus bus systems. The Triangle's largest campuses have extensive on-campus transit options. There are dozens of routes operated on on-campus transit by authorities to get you around. But here are some routes you need to know as a first-year student. Weekday routes. They loop around campus and will get you from your dorm to classes and back. Routes with an R run similarly to their normal counterparts, but in reverse. Weekend routes are similar to weekday routes, but have limited service. An after-hour transit at UNC and Duke is useful for when you're coming back from a long night. Sorry, Wolfpack. At Duke, weekdays, Duke Transit, C1 and C2. Weekdays, Duke Transit, CCX. After hours, Duke Vans on-demand shuttles, 5 p.m. to 6:45 a.m. At UNC Chapel Hill, weekdays, Chapel Hill Transit, U/RU. Weekends, Chapel Hill Transit U. And after hours, P2P Express, a similar route to U7, p.m. to 4 a.m. NC State, weekdays, Wolfine number 7, Wolfling Shuttle /#7R. And weekends, Wolfine 7, Wolfling Shuttle. And NC Central, weekdays, Maroon Shuttle, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., Gray Shuttle, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And our next little trivia note, Bull Durham, the baseball movie starring Kevin Costner, was filmed in Durham and made $50.8 million in North America. Next, the to-do list. A guide to local festivals you don't want to miss. You'll find 1,000 events to go to campus throughout your first year. Basketball games, on-campus concert, club events, and so on. You're missing out, though, if you don't get off campus and see what the rest of the Triangle has to offer. Here are some festivals to get you started. Beats and Bars, August 24th to the 26th in Durham. Take a break from the stress of moving in by heading to North Carolina's largest hip-hop festival. You can catch performances from artists like Dead Prez, Dumbfounded, and Ace Henderson. But check out the panel discussions for refreshingly interesting lectures before your actual classes get rolling. Hopscotch, September 6th through 8th in Raleigh. It's early September. The novelty of college life is just starting to wear off, and you need something exciting to do for a weekend. Look no farther than Hopscotch. Arguably the area's signature music event, Hopscotch is seen everywhere from Solange to Gary Clark Jr. to Pusha T grace its stages. This year's headliners include The Flaming Lips, Miguel Greasy Bear, MC 50, Mipso, and Liz Phair. Dreamville Festival, September 15th in Raleigh. Hosted by Fayetteville native J. Cole, this one-day festival will be the first big concert at Raleigh's new Dorothea Dix Park. That's pretty much all we can tell you about it, as the lineup has yet to be released. The Art of Cool Festival, September 28th to the 29th in Durham. A self-built collision of jazz, R&B, hip-hop, and soul. The Art of Cool Festival has been spearheaded by trumpeter music professor Al Strong and business partner Cicely Mitchell since it began 5 years ago. It's relatively affordable in so much as big-time festivals go, and this year it's bringing Maxwell, Erykah Badu, and Nas to town. IBMA Wide Open Bluegrass, September 28th to 29th in Raleigh. So you don't think bluegrass is your thing, do you? Well, maybe you haven't given it a proper shot. You'll have no better chance to do that than at IBMA's annual Wide Open Bluegrass Festival, this year featuring performances by Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder, with Patti Loveless, Gillian Welch, Rion Giddens, Chatham County Line, and a ton of others. Pride, Durham, NC. The Triangle celebrates Pride in September, not June. Starting this year, the annual festival will be helmed by the LGBTQ Center of Durham. It will feature a parade, live music, and a queer prom, all in one of the state's most progressive and inclusive municipalities. International Festival of Raleigh, October 26th to the 28th in Raleigh. The International Festival has a lot of things going for it, including live performances, exhibits, and the opportunity to meet people from all over the world. But the best part is the food. Try anything and everything. You've got the world at your fingertips, after all. NC Comic-Con, November 9th to the 11th in Durham. There are a few places where you can geek out in the Triangle. Check out Raleigh Supercon in the summer and Amazement in the spring. But we highlighted NC Comic-Con because it takes place in the fall. Who wants to cosplay in the blazing summer southern sun? The Full Frame Documentary Film Festival, April 4th to the 7th in Durham. There aren't many documentary festivals better than Full Frame. The four-day event features about 100 documentaries and is held within a reasonably small and walkable area of downtown Durham. Moogfest, April 25th to the 28th in Durham. Tickets aren't cheap, but attendees can expect to see innovative programming and technology, as well as musical performances from top-tier acts. Moogfest typically releases the first details about its lineup in the winter. But expect the likes of Flying Lotus, Animal Collective, and Reggie Watts. Artsplosure, May in Raleigh. Otherwise known as the Raleigh Arts Festival, Artsplosure is a two-day festival held in downtown Raleigh just as spring starts to kick into gear. It's a good place to see artists from around the Triangle and the country, obviously, but wandering around the sprawling downtown festival will lead you to everything from food trucks to live music and dance. Monthly, First Friday events offer a sort of scaled-down Artsplosure experience for people who head back home for the summer. And the next little trivia item. St. Augustine's University was founded in 1867, making it one of the oldest historically black universities in the United States. Our next article, be careful out there. How to look out for yourself and others on campus. Part of college and part of being on your own for the first time is learning how to take care of yourself. But for those of us who have never even done a load of laundry on your own, keeping yourself safe in a big, scary world can seem, well, scary. Relax, kid. You got this. Some simple rules. Trust your gut. Use your resources, your school offers, and look out for yourself and your peers. There are lots of everyday things you can do and stay safe. First, always lock your doors and when you leave, and whether you are off campus or in a dorm. Charles Corr, administrative lieutenant at Wake Tech, also recommends keeping your car doors locked and not leaving valuables where someone can easily get to them. The majority of break-ins are actually people that are just going around pulling handles, he said. Sometimes someone will just walk through the parking lots and pull handles, and then someone, when they get to a door that opens, they look through the car. If you're out late, stick with friends or let people know where you're going and when you should be back. Lots of colleges have safety apps like Duke's Live Safe, which offer a safe walk feature which allows users to track each other on a map while they're walking to a destination. The app also allows students to submit anonymous tips. Other apps, such as Circle of 6U, let you share your location with friends and access campus-specific emergency response systems. If you feel unsafe on campus, utilize resources like police escort services, safe ride systems, and call boxes. And sorry if we sound like your mom, but if you plan on boozing, make sure you have a designated driver or a rideshare app handy. Also, watch your drink to make sure no one slips something into your cup. And if some creep is trying to make you do something you don't want to do, tell them to take off. Your health and safety come first. Mental health is also important in college, which can and likely will be one of the most anxiety-ridden periods of your life. If you or a friend are struggling, contact your campus counseling center. If it's an emergency, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Most important, trust your instincts and stay aware of your surroundings. Everybody has that sense. You can feel something is wrong, and you know. Trust it, Cozy said. If you see something you don't like, turn around and walk the other way. 2016 North Carolina College Crime Statistics. 1,173 reported criminal offenses. 20 reported hate crimes. 590 reported violence against women offenses. 1,709 reported arrests. 7,394 reported disciplinary actions. 36 reported fires that occurred in on-campus student housing. 3 injuries or death as a result of a fire in an on-campus student housing facility. And finally, the next set of trivia. In spite of its name, Wake Forest University is located in Winston-Salem. It moved from Wake Forest to Winston-Salem in 1956. And the Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup in 2006. The captain of that cup-winning team is now the coach. The team is now terrible. Our next article, doing it and doing it and doing it well. Life is too short for bad sex. Let's not beat around the bush. Sex is everywhere on college campuses. This is true whether you're indulging liberally or abstaining altogether. And, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with either. No matter what, you're going to confront a situation where a working knowledge of the ins and outs of sex will be useful. This article won't cover everything, but it will, hopefully, be a start. First things first. Being sexually active is a choice, and everyone should respect the choice you make. If you are sexually active, the first priority is safety. Unfortunately, college isn't known for fostering a safe and supportive environment, especially for women. In 2015, the AAU Climate Survey on Sexual Assault and Sexual Misconduct found that 23% of undergraduate women experience sexual assault at some point during their college career. That not meant to scare you, but it is a reality. So before engaging in any sort of sexual activity, it's a good idea to make sure you and your partner are aware of your boundaries and establish consent. Consent is an enthusiastic and freely given agreement to sexual activity, not no means no, but yes means yes. After that, make sure you're protecting yourself. Birth control, obviously, doesn't prevent disease. Condoms are the best way to guard against STDs, regardless of what gender your sexual partner is. Female condoms and dental drams exist to help keep women safe. But safe sex isn't just about your decisions. It's the responsibility of the entire community. Learning the signs of sexual assault, along with effective and safe ways to intervene, can make a difference in someone else's life. Be aware of your friends and the people around you, especially in situations where people might be drinking. Have they had too much? Are they being led away from the crowd? Do they look uncomfortable? If you decide to intervene, make sure that you're keeping yourself safe as well. Direct confrontation can often lead to more problems. Instead of approaching a potential assaulter, address the potential victim. Offer a way out. Hey, you want to come dance with us? Bring a couple of friends with you. While safety is a priority, one good sex is clearly about more than that. It's also about pleasure. So make sure you're talking with your partner about what you like and what you'd like to try. In the wise words of I Saw This One on Your Internet, life is too short for bad sex. Some triangle trivia further. The mascots. UNC, after a tough football career in 1924, head cheerleader Vic Huggins decided the team needed a mascot. She decided on Rameses, the Ram, based on star fullback Jack Merritt, who was nicknamed the Battering Ram. NC State. In 1921, an angry anonymous alum complained that the football players were as unruly as a pack of wolves. Within weeks, the NC State Alumni News and the student newspaper were referring to the football team as the Wolfpack. Duke. In World War I, the French infantry fighting in the Alps was nicknamed Les Diables Bleus, or the Blue Devils. For some unclear reason, Duke, then Trinity College, took this moniker and made it its mascot. Around the same time, the school lifted its ban on football, and by 1922, the team was widely known as the Blue Devils. UNC claims to be the oldest public university in the U.S., which is true, more or less. The University of Georgia was chartered first, but UNC began admitting students 6 years before UGA did. And the College of William and Mary predates both of them by nearly a century. But it was a private institution until 1906, so we're not going to count that. Chapel Hill fire trucks are Carolina blue. Babe Ruth hit his first home run in Fayetteville, and Jackie Robinson played for the Durham Bulls. And finally, Krispy Kreme was founded in Winston-Salem. Now from the music brief section, Sound and Secure. You may not recognize his name or face, but if you've been to Cat's Cradle in the last decade, odds are you've heard the work of Andrew Young. Cutting his teeth in the early 80s with his brother Daryl's Beach Band, Andy has spent virtually his entire adult life as a sound engineer. He was touring with the Squirrel Nut Zippers when he began doing sound at the Cradle in 2007, going full-time when he retired from the road in 2010. He became the venue's technical director soon after. But earlier this year, the celebrated sound engineer was sidelined by a serious injury. This weekend, a bevy of local bands are stepping in to help him out. I remember being terrified of that stage and Andy being so patient and kind when I was an insufferable kid that had no idea of what I was doing. This was from Rachel Hirsch of Brooks's. He worked at the first Girls Rock North Carolina showcase this summer, and still had that same patience and kindness, even with about 80 little campers running around and yelling. Boone's Rainbow Kitten Surprise convinced Young to get back on the road with them last year, and he did 80 dates with the band before breaking his hip in Minneapolis in April. I was shadow dancing with Prince when he made a couple really good moves and I couldn't keep up, he jokes. The resulting hip replacement surgery left him with 6 figures worth of medical bills and kept him from work partway into June. Though he now plans on staying off the road for good, he kept a positive outlook on the experience. Well, that's about it for another week. This has been Bob Martin for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. And a reminder, this program will be available as a podcast following its initial broadcast. So until next week, goodbye, good night, and good morning.